prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 14 May 2025. Welcome to this program. Y'all pull up a chair tonight, get your glass of ice to yourself. We're going to talk to the gentleman tonight that's going to share his story. That as far as I can discern, it'll be one of the roughest things anyone could go through in their life, period. We're going to discuss it in just a minute. Before we go there, though, tomorrow being Thursday, which, you know, I'll be in office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. Crystal will not be here. So if I get a little bit behind, please don't be upset if I can't answer the phone right away. I may have to call you back. I'll do the best I can, folks. I really will. I might be able to get Marsha Jean to help me a little bit in between other things, but I'll be in office tomorrow. If you want to call and order the DVD set I've been offering this whole month. And, folks, again, I reiterate with everything in me, American prophecy is something that you must hear to know what is really happening in the world and what the prophecy forecast for America. Yep, we're in there, and it's forecast in our scriptures. 3-hour-long DVD or CD, your choice. Along with that comes a book on the Old Jerusalem, not the New Jerusalem, and the outline of the lesson of the outline for the lesson I taught, 3 hours long, $39.95. That includes shipping and everything delivered to your door. And I don't know how to emphasize enough how important this teaching is. I don't know. I'm just trying my best to let you know that. Of course, I'll be in the office tomorrow to take orders for anything or donations or whatever. They will not ship to the following week, but I promise you I'll do my best to get them right. So when Crystal comes back to the office, we'll be able to take care of those things for you. She took a week off to be with her husband, who drives over-the-road trucks, not home very often, about 4 days a month. So they had a week off, spend it together. They said they're going to spend it together working around their house. So anyway, thanks for bearing with me, Mar. I appreciate it very much. I really do. Be patient with us. And if you don't mind, prayer requests from Marsha tomorrow night, probably. We'll be heading about 3 hours north of a town called Morgantown to a hospital. She'll have surgery on her shoulder Friday. The last surgery did on the replacement of her shoulder did not last. The guy really messed it up. So we're going to have it redone. It's been about 7-8 years ago, so I have it redone tomorrow. I know this doctor is a much better doctor, so she'll be in surgery Friday, sometime Friday. So keep in your prayers, please, for a quick recovery. Also, my brother Dick received some good news. They started him on a protein treatment via needle that is absolutely guaranteed to help his bones heal and at least slow down the progression of the bone cancer that he's having troubles with. So thank you for praying, my brother Dick. Please continue to do so. And our grandson, y'all prayed for both of them. I want to thank you for that. Ryan, the younger one, wasn't hurt as bad. He's doing fine. Still struggling with some mental, situations of what he saw. Dylan is gaining ground. Got a lot of surgeries to go. He's been through a lot of surgeries. He's got a ways to go yet, but thanks for keeping Dylan around your prayers. And I cannot tell you how much they both appreciate the cards you sent. Dylan kept every one of them in a box, big box. And he goes through them, reads them every now and then. Thank you all for caring like you do. I do appreciate it. But you call us tomorrow if you want to order something or just talk to us at 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, call our toll number, 304-846-4448. And don't forget Saturday, Phil Hudock will be there. I won't be there. Of course, I'll be with the wife in Morgantown. But he'll be there to take care of the Bible studies. Don't miss it. Go to PastorButch.com at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Or you may wait and start to 11. I don't know. But anyway, he'll be there. He'll take care of it. You can watch it on PastorButch.com on Rumble. Or you can call the phone number at 339-209-5013 and listen. 339-209-5013. We want you to join us, hopefully live. If not, you can always watch it on online after it's been uploaded and ready to be watched. So we're just doing our best, folks, to bless you if we can, and encourage you if we can, and maybe teach you something if we can. I certainly am not the brightest bulb in the house, but I do the best I can. But anyway, let's go to our guest tonight. This gentleman I could have met in Wisconsin if I could have made it to Wisconsin, and I'm so sorry I didn't get to meet this gentleman face-to-face. His name is Scott Schiera. He's going to share a story tonight that's going to break your heart and make you mad at the same time. And it should. It really should. We're going to listen to what he has to say, and we're going to bring Scott up. And Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. I'm doing well, Butch. Thank you very much for asking.
Well, you're more than welcome. I'm glad you're with us, and thanks for taking time to join us. I know this story's got to be painful. I'm sure you've told it 1,000 times. And it probably doesn't get any easier as it goes along, I'm sure. But tell the folks, if you would, a little bit about who is Scott and what brought you on the airwaves. Just tell them who Scott is.
I'm really nobody. I'm Grace's dad. And I was known as Grace's dad when she was alive, Butch, because Grace was pretty popular. Grace was my 19-year-old best buddy. Grace had Down syndrome. And in our local community, she had quite a following. So I was known as Grace's dad both before her death and after her death, which is interesting. I became on the airwaves, and it's interesting you said 1,000 times. I have told the story about 1,100 times publicly. That's how many programs I've been on.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's because God called me for this time, and Grace's death has not been in vain. She has saved many, many, many lives because of the platform God has given me to share her story. Her story started all the way back in September 22nd of 02. That's the day she was born. And it was a great day. We had never done any of the testing. And when Grace came out, I was in the delivery room, and I said to my wife, Cindy, I think she has Down syndrome. She just had that look. And the doctors did a huddle, and they came in the room shortly after and said, we suspect your daughter has Down syndrome. Do you want to keep her? And at the time, we were shocked by that. We just said, of course you want to keep her. What are you talking about? And they said, we have people waiting in the wings for children such as these. So I don't know what that meant. I've become a full-time conspiracy theorist. So, back then I just assumed they had people waiting in adopting kids with Down syndrome, but I don't know for sure. Ultimately, how Grace was born, I'm not going to go through the biology, but we had turned the baby department over to God when we were 39. We had the American dream family, 2.1 kids, 1.7 dogs, no cats, chasing the American dream. And God laid it on Cindy and my heart to turn the baby department over to him. And so we were 39 years old when we had Grace, so fairly late. But what a gift she was. She was the best thing God ever gave us, second to salvation. When she first was in our house, you know, it's interesting to have somebody with a disability because you can't help but think about the disability. And I thought about it negatively at first. You know, she's never going to be able to do this or that, never going to be able to get married, never going to be able to drive. And the only thing that she did not do is get married because she didn't live long enough. But she ended up shooting a rifle. She deer hunted with me. I taught her how to drive. She played violin. She rode horse. She danced. There was nothing she didn't do. She was a blessing. And after I learned what a blessing she was, I realized she is what Jesus said, in that we have to come to Him like a little child.
Amen.
And she had that. And I got to the point where toward her. A couple of years before her death, I realized I wish I had Down syndrome. She didn't have any cares, no worries, just the way we're supposed to be. But, you know, the world kind of takes over, and we end up, the cares of the world tend to influence and cause stress and all the things that God warns us about, grace didn't have. So as we, you know, get into the reason you had me on and the reason I share the story is, we went through a period of time in this country that exposed a lot of evil. In fact, it exposed quite an agenda that I have now become a full-time researcher, advocate. I do have my own podcast. I'm on shows. And we have the first wrongful death jury trial in the entire country for somebody who was killed in a hospital during COVID. And that jury trial starts June 2nd. So we're just 2.5 weeks away from the jury trial. So it's an extremely exciting time. We'll cover that towards the end. But, you know, so why do we have a wrongful death lawsuit? Well, personally, you know, it's a civil case, so it's not a murder case. But, you know, I've come to the belief after studying Grace's records, and I'll explain that here in just a bit, that she was medically murdered. And during the COVID era, the 39 months that we're calling COVID, 1.2 million Americans were killed in hospitals. And that's an extremely high number out of all the countries reporting, out of all 200 countries reporting the numbers. America was number one in that category, hospital murders, 1.2 million.
You said 1.2 million were killed in the hospitals?
That's correct. And, right. You know, when I saw that statistic, and you know, that statistic shocked me, but then when I saw what country was number two on the list, and number two is India, and India's population is four times that of the United States, but their death count was 534,000, less than 50%. So that didn't make any sense to me. That was a little bit later on. I'll just quickly go through what happened with Grace in the hospital and then drill that down as to how that ended up getting me into a real deep dive into medical murder. Ultimately, you know, Grace's last day was October 13th. We had tested her for COVID on October 1st of 2021. I'm going to go through some things that are real important for your listeners when I go through the story, and I'll just pause and you can ask questions then.
Right ahead.
So why did we test Grace for COVID? That really is a question that I have dug into quite a bit, you know, because you replay things in your mind, of course. What could I have done differently? How was I deceived? And I was deceived by a thing called our civic duty. So we were going to go to a wedding on October 1st, Butch, and we thought, well, Grace has a cold. We better test her for COVID because it's our civic duty to not spread COVID. And the reason I say I was deceived by our civic duty is our civic duty is part of a communist doctrine called collectivism, where we have to worry about the good of the population versus the good of the individual. And I didn't realize that. I mean, as I said, I'm a full-time researcher. I have 4,000 hours of research since Grace's murder. And so now I see this crystal clear, how this is embedded in the population to deceive us. God is an individualist. God is not a collectivist. God worries about the needs of the individual, not the needs of the general population. And, you know, so I was deceived by that. We got the home COVID test, and Grace tested positive. So then we started a protocol from the frontline COVID critical care doctors. People may know that as the FLCCC. So we weren't following the government narrative, but we had bought into the government propaganda. So this becomes the second thing that is very important for people to understand how Satan works. So Satan has two sides. He has an antichrist side and a false prophet side. And God explains that very clearly in Revelation 13. So the antichrist side becomes the government propaganda. The false prophet side becomes the alternative propaganda. So still believing in man. So we've got evil and less evil. God's way is outside of those dialectics that Satan has in place. And if I would have never bought into the propaganda, I would have never had fear. So the fear motivated me to follow the FLCCC protocol. And God's way, like I said, Butch, it's always outside of the dialectics that Satan puts in place to trap us into the evil versus less evil debate.
So many times, Scott, Christ leads by faith. Satan drives by fear. And that's what had everybody during the COVID pandemic. That's what everybody motivated. They were scared to death. That's all part of Satan's plan and a tyrant's plan. But go ahead.
That's exactly right. So following that alternative protocol from the FLCCC, we got Grace on ivermectin and vitamins, and then we bought a pulse oximeter, which was part of what they said for your kit. So we started measuring Grace's oxygen saturation, and that was the key mistake because, you know, when you're in a fear mode, your critical thinking checks out. We had no business buying a pulse oximeter because we had no baseline. When a person gets a cold or flu, what happens is your oxygen saturation drops in the 80s. That's normal. On the morning of October 6th, Grace's oxygen saturation dropped to 88%, and the protocol said specifically, if oxygen saturation drops below 94%, admit yourself to the hospital because it's an emergency. So we admitted Grace to the hospital with a cold, and the ER physician said, we'll just put Grace on oxygen and a steroid for 3-4 days as a precautionary. And I thought, well, this is my best buddy. We got to do whatever is best for her. And so I went in the hospital with Grace with that plan of care. If they would have only done that, Grace would be alive today. So if I had never taken Grace to the hospital, she'd be alive today. If they would have only put her on oxygen and a steroid, she would be alive today. What happened is they are hell-bent on an oxygen strategy that really binds the patient. So most people would know what a regular cannula is. That's all that Grace needed. But then they ratcheted that up to a Vapotherm and then a BiPAP, and pretty soon she becomes on this BiPAP. And, you know, they're monitoring this constantly, and then they put her on a sedation med called Presidex. And that was not right. That was done without our knowledge or consent. And as we go forward through her hospital stay, I was with her the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. The morning of the 10th, I was taken out by an armed guard because I was challenging what the nurses were doing and not doing. And ultimately, the armed guard escorted me all the way out to my truck, made sure I left the premises, and we had to hire a different attorney. Grace's special needs attorney we hired in order to negotiate our daughter Jessica in as a replacement advocate. My wife Cindy could not do it at the time because she was sick. So Grace ended up with 47 hours without an advocate in the room. We had never left Grace alone, and that's against her Americans with Disabilities Act rights. During that 47 hours, they increased the dose of Presidex 6 different times. They sedated Grace instead of taking care of her. By the time Jessica, our daughter, got in the room, Grace was still in good spirits. I mean, she was a trooper. The evening of the 12th, she sat up in bed. Now, unbeknownst to us, she's already been on Prasadex at this point 4 days. So she's been sedated for 4 days, but she'll still sat up in bed through the BiPAP mask. Just got her two boys, Grace's nephews, on FaceTime, and she hollered through the BiPAP, "Hi, boys." And her oxygen saturation was at 98-99% the entire night. Jessica was in the room with her, and Grace was still doing fine. Well, as we turn the page to Grace's last day, October 13th of 21, it started with Jessica letting the nurse know that she was going to take a shower. So there's a shower in Grace's room. I took a shower in her room when I was there. And the nurse said, "You can't take a shower in the room." And Jessica pushed back a little bit, but not too much, because she was concerned about being taken out by a guard also. The nurse's excuse why she couldn't take a shower in the room is because, well, you got all this PPE on. You can't take a shower with PPE on, personal protective equipment. So she said, if you're going to take a shower, you have to go home. So Jess went home to take a shower. Grace approved it, you know, because Grace was doing fine. During that hour and a half she was gone, the nurse and the doctor strapped Grace down to the bed and made her defecate in the bed.
What?
Then the doctor called us at 10:12. And all these timestamps I have committed to memory because of the lawsuit, but he called us at 10:12. This was already after they strapped Grace down to the bed and made her defecate in the bed. So Jessica's already back when he makes the phone call to us, and the purpose of the call was to follow up on a call he had with Cindy and I the day before, in the later afternoon, where he wanted a pre-authorization for a ventilator. And as I have found out, with COVID, a ventilator was an incentivized protocol from the government.
That's right.
If somebody's on a ventilator for 96 hours, the hospital received a $39,000 bonus.
Yep.
The average amount of time somebody was on a ventilator before they died, which happened 90% of the time, was 22 days. And so with the hospital stay and the bonus, it was about a $300,000 payday to the hospital. So we turned down that request for the pre-authorization for the ventilator. That was the fourth time they asked. They always framed it that these type of things tend to happen in the middle of the night when we can't get a hold of the family. So that's why we want your pre-authorization just in case. So we said no, and the doctor immediately switched gears and said, "Grace had such a good day yesterday. We should work on nutrition." So we knew Grace had a good day because of Jess being in the room.
You may be going to cover this, but I just make sure we do. Did they have her defecate in the bed? What was the idea?
The only thing that I can say is because they didn't want to help. I mean, this was a consistent theme in the hospital. I mean, they had COVID blinders on. And they just didn't want to help her out of bed to go to the bathroom. So it was easier for them.
Gosh.
To, you know, and then that they used that as the excuse to increase Prasadex to the maximum allowable dose. So literally while we're on the phone with the doctor, so he says we should get Grace out of bed today. Let's work on nutrition. Let's get her bowels moving so that we can get her out of here in the next several days. Well, while we were on the phone, the nurse, who had 20 years of ICU experience, increased the dose of Prasadex to the maximum allowable dose at 10:48. We hung up the phone with him at 10:55. At 10:56, he put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Gracie's chart. Then the nurse proceeded to combine Prasadex with lorazepam, which is contraindicated. She gave her a dose at 11:25, another dose at 5:46, another dose at 5:49. And lorazepam has a 12-hour half-life. Then the doctor ordered morphine at 6:15, which is another contraindicated med. Grace's body started to get cold. Jessica started begging this nurse, "Can you come in and take my sister's temperature?" And she said, "It's normal." She wouldn't even come in the room. She said, "That's normal. Just cover her with a blanket." And as
I got to say this, and I think you'll get into a minute, but it certainly sounded like they were trying to kill this young lady.
Well, that's certainly my perspective. I mean, you know, it's to prove intent is another level. You know, the idea of a criminal charge against the doctor and nurse, I'm not talking about that at this point because we're in the civil trial. We've got to get through the civil trial first.
Right.
But it seems, you know, with all the evidence that I've seen and accumulated just in the records, and then you add in their deposition testimony, it seems very clear to me that Grace was worth more dead than alive. And when we chose to not do the ventilator, the hospital was full at that time. They had people in the ER waiting. And, you know, so to get a new, fresh body in a bed that's a higher-paying patient, Grace is on Medicaid. Interestingly, a record I just found in her records last week, Butch, they're so brazen with their treatment of the patient. They listed Grace. They have a question in the medical records that says VIP patient, ? Yes or no? And they labeled Grace as no, she was not a VIP patient. And that's how brazen these records are. It's hard to grasp. So, I mean, it seems very clear to me that Grace was medically murdered. And I'll tell you how I came to that conclusion here after I finished her last moments on earth.
Well, let me ask you one question here. Could you have gotten her out of the hospital? Could you have taken her home?
I mean, that's a great question. The answer, you know, I found out after the fact, the answer to that is technically yes. And the reason I say technically is because you can always take somebody out of the hospital. And if I would have had a sense as to what they were doing, I would have taken her with me when I was removed on October 10th. She was fine. Like I said, we never left Grace alone. So why would I even leave her alone? Why I left her alone? Because I thought, well, the hospital is a safe zone, right? So just the technicality of it, what would have happened because Grace was sedated, if I said I'm going to take Grace with me, they would have said the only way you can do that is it's called against medical advice. And so I would have had to sign a form that says I'm taking total responsibility for Grace by taking her out of the hospital. It's kind of a fear tactic that they use to keep the patient in the hospital. So that's so yes, of course, I, you know, that's the one moment I replayed for about 3 months after Grace died. Every night God got me up about 3 o'clock in the morning and I replayed that. Of course, God's sovereign, but I just had to go through that process in my mind to reconcile it. And, you know, ultimately I also repented for the fear because when I shine the light totally on me, you know, Grace is not here because of my fear. That does not excuse the medical staff's treatment of Grace. It's two separate things.
Yes, it is.
So now Jessica's, you know, she's obviously with Grace. The nurse won't come in. She called Cindy and I at 7:18 panicking. And she said, this was on a FaceTime call. She said, Dad, Grace's numbers are dropping like crazy. I said, get the nurses. And she said, I've been trying. They refuse. So on this FaceTime call and Jessica in the room, we are all screaming, save our daughter. Jess estimated about 30 nurses in the hallway.
Hang on through the break. Don't lose that thought. Hang on through the break. Folks, this is absolutely unthinkable, unbelievable, and unexcusable. Marv Scott's mildness and meekness during this because I don't know how I could have handled this. Back at the break, don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back. We'll take your phone calls next half hour. This half hour, as always, at 877-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Questions, comments, and I'm sure everybody that's listening tonight is probably brokenhearted, angry, and rightfully angry. I do not apologize for righteous anger. This is a righteous anger. There is no sin in righteous anger. If there were, then our Savior would have sinned many times, because he was righteously angry more than once. So there's no sin in righteous anger. It's how you handle it makes a difference. But I admire Scott and his wife. And by what's your wife's name, Scott?
My wife's name is Cindy.
Cindy, okay. I admire those folks for the strength of how to get through this. And Scott had no idea about what we knew, you and I knew, because we were involved in understanding these so-called conspiracies. Scott had no idea what was happening. He trusted the government, oh my, and many, many people did. As I said during the break, the church in America was put to a test under COVID, and it failed it miserably, miserably failed the test. Now, Scott, you go ahead. You said there's 34 nurses in the hallway, and what happened?
Yeah, so when Jess called us on FaceTime at 7:18, we started screaming, save our daughter. And Jess estimated about 30 nurses in the hallway because of shift change. And there was an armed guard posted, and they hollered back. This is when we found out Grace was labeled DNR, because they hollered back from outside the room, she's DNR. So we screamed, she's not DNR, save our daughter, and they refused. Not one nurse or doctor stepped foot in Grace's room. to do anything. And we watched her die on that FaceTime call at 7:27 p.m. on October 13th of 2021. And what got us into the mindset that something nefarious happened was later on that night when Cindy got walked out. She was in a wheelchair, and one of the nurses had Grace's belongings on a cart. And she said to Cindy, "Me and several nurses don't think Grace should have died today." Unbelievably, God's hand started right away. It's hard to believe. I mean, God's sovereign, so God knew the exact situation of Grace's last moments on earth before she was born. And then he started working on us right away. And the first thing he did is put me in a different hospital. I just about died on October 16th. And the purpose of that hospital visit was twofold. Number one is that hospital treated me like I was going to live versus the one Grace was at treated her like she was going to die.
Well,
and they turned me around.
I'm going to say this. Probably, and I hope this is wrong, but maybe not. They didn't have the money incentive to kill you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it may have been that. It may have been it just was they were on higher moral ground. I don't know. But ultimately, they did turn me around in 24 hours. And God used that hospital experience not to just show me what's possible, but that's where he broke me so that I had the spirit of forgiveness to the doctor and nurse because he knew he was going to use me to become a public advocate to save people's lives. And you can't be running around as an angry dad if you're going to be out speaking in public about medical murder. So it's unbelievable how that all took place in that hospital stay. Well, then after I got home, a doctor friend of Cindy and mine, she called me and said, "Scott, I think you should get the records." And another miracle, we got the medical records in 4 days. That's impossible. You know, I think wow. Most people can't get the medical records ever, and we got enough to piece it together in 4 days. So this doctor friend and I, we sat down, and on November 8th, we had enough put together to realize the meds killed Grace. So we wrote up a report. I requested my biblical responsibility at that point was meet with them, show them what they did. They have an opportunity to acknowledge and repent, and then they can fix this so it doesn't happen to somebody else. So we sent them the data, the summary, the report, everything we put together, and I requested a meeting on November 8th. So this was, roughly 3 weeks after Grace died. And they sent me a letter back on December 2nd that said, "We're not going to meet with you." So that started the wake-up process, and I ultimately filed a complaint with the medical examining board. They did a sham investigation and sent me a letter that said the doctor didn't do anything wrong on January 20th of 22, and that's where my wake-up started. From that point on, I have from January 20th, 22 to now, I have about 4,000 hours of research into medical murder. And it was about in April when I realized Grace was murdered because a pharmacist came forward from Ascension Hospital System, the same system that killed Grace. And when she heard what happened, she got a hold of me and said, "Scott, I'm a pharmacist, and I want you to understand how they pulled this off." And she said that not only did the doctor order the meds, but the pharmacist had to sign off on that order. And she said how they do it in our facility is, they try to get me to sign off, and I know the meds are going to kill the person, so I won't. So they'll wait till I'm done with my shift and get a different pharmacist to sign off on the order because I won't do it. And so then the next thing is, because those meds are contraindicated, the alarm has to be overridden, and then the nurse has to give the person the meds. And in this case, the nurse had 20 years of ICU experience. So that day is the day I realized Grace was murdered. And then you go through a whole process. Why did they murder her? And then I uncovered the population reduction agenda and how Satan has weave that into our population, the entire collectivism model, the rationing care model. He's weaved that into our country since about 1880 is when it has been formalized as an agenda then people are completely blind to it. And that's why I'm very outspoken about it.
Of course they are.
Exactly. They don't want, God did not make us with a spirit of fear. He's warned us in Scripture several times to stay away from pharmakia. In fact, Revelation 18:23 says, Mystery Babylon will deceive with pharmakia. And, in our country, we have only 4.2% of the world's population. We consume 45% of the world's pharmaceuticals, 5 billion annual prescriptions.
I did not know that. Say that figure again.
We have 4.2% of the world's population, but we consume 45% of the world's pharmaceuticals, which is 5 billion prescriptions annually in this country.
Wow.
We are a country hooked on big pharma. Right? So we are being deceived by pharmakia.
That makes perfect sense. I didn't realize those numbers. That is amazing. So, again, I don't know how to respond to this. I really don't, because I can't imagine you lost one child in the beginning, then now you lost your daughter that obviously was a very special individual that God sent to you to bless you all. And I know that all things work out to our God, our Father's sovereignty eventually. But I just can't imagine how people in the hospital can be so callous. Now, this is, you're not the only story I've heard about people dying in the hospital, probably were murdered, but this is the first time I heard of a child like Grace that was intentionally taken out. And I wonder sometimes, and I don't know how to say this, except just say it, you think maybe it's because of her disability, they thought this just getting rid of another what they call useless eater?
Well, I do think that that's the case, and I say that for a number of reasons. So just in the medical records, I already mentioned about they labeled her not a VIP patient. So that was interesting. In the 22 doctor's reports that were written while Grace was in the hospital, they referenced that she had Down syndrome 36 different times. In the COVID expert report, from the very first day that Grace was in the hospital, he wrote, "Unfortunately, I think the patient probably would not be here if she had been fully vaccinated." Excuse me, that's not a bias against Down syndrome, but it's a bias against the fact that Grace was not vaccinated for COVID. In fact, she was not vaccinated with anything. We never vaccinated Grace at all. So we were at least awake to vaccinations, not the entire agenda, but to vaccinations. Anyway, so I zoom out from there, and if you look at Obamacare, Section 1553 of Obamacare, which was passed March 23rd of 2010, legalizes euthanasia. Well, then I found a document dated July of 2011, which is an implementation document for the idea of the useless eaters. Ezekiel Emanuel was the chief architect of Obamacare, and in 1996, he already said that non-contributing members of society don't deserve medical care. So that satanic principle is weaved through Obamacare, and then once Obamacare is passed, they have to have training documents. So I found a training document for Down syndrome adults, and it specifically tells the doctors that your responsibility is to take this nuisance, this burden, away from the family, because the person with Down syndrome is nothing but a burden to the family.
Repeat where that was written at. Where'd you find that at?
I found it. I'll pull it up on my screen so I can literally read it here. But I want to give me just a minute.
Take your time, folks. Are you hearing all this? Are people out there maybe that thinks we're all a bunch of conspiracy nuts starting to realize that maybe what we're saying is true, and that perhaps we should pay attention to people like Scott and his family that are trying to warn us? Would that be a possibility, folks, that this is all really happening just like we say it is, and just like we've been trying to warn people for years? We are living in a nation of almost pure evil. Like your lumpet, it is what it is. The phone line is open,
exactly
717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Go ahead, Scott.
So this document is called, it's written, I live in Wisconsin, so I mean, I've zeroed in on Wisconsin, of course. So it's written by the Palliative Care Network of Wisconsin, written by two MDs, dated July of 2011. And what they have first, they have three sections of this document. The first section lists all the problems that people with Down syndrome have. So they lay this out like, oh my gosh, Down syndrome, it's the worst possible thing somebody can have. And so they lay out sleep apnea, dental issues, congenital cardiac septal defects, thyroid dysfunction. There's about 50 things here that, you know, anybody could have, but they lay it out specifically to set the table for the second part of the document. So now this is what I would call the white horse part of the document. So they're telling these doctors, and this is a quote from the document, the lifelong toll on families is high. Part of a robust plan of care includes acknowledgement of this toll by the healthcare providers. So they're trying to get the doctor in the mindset, look at all these problems this family has to deal with, and your job is to save this family from the lifelong toll that this person with Down syndrome had on the family. So then the kill statement says, I'm quoting again, Butch, whenever possible, decision makers for people with Down syndrome, this would be the doctors, should be encouraged to use substituted judgment to make key palliative care decisions. All efforts should be made to determine the preferences of the patient. However, because of lifelong cognitive impairment, the views of the person with Down syndrome may not be known. Well, that's a crock. I know the views of every person with Down syndrome. They want to live. So how can the doctor use substituted judgment? So this is the kind of BS that is out there, and these doctors are programmed to follow this. In fact, if they don't follow these standards of care that are written by the government, they will lose their license, and of course they won't get paid. So they've got to follow these protocols that are put in place by our government.
Wow. Wow, that's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And again, the lines are open. I know right now you all listen intently, and I'm glad you are. If you have any comments or questions, though, do feel free to share them, because this is as much your broadcast as mine, okay? I'm just a servant here. So right now you're in the process, obviously, of moving forward, trying to at least try to punish someone, some system, something, what they've done to your child.
Well, that's a great, I don't look at the lawsuit as punishment only because I'm so deep into it. I realize that this system, the legal system, is also designed as an antichrist system. It is not, God is a God of justice. This legal system has nothing to do with justice. And it's easily proven if you look at why do they have medical malpractice caps. In Wisconsin, the medical malpractice cap is $750,000. The doctor is required to have medical malpractice insurance. So in a medical malpractice suit with a victory, the only skin in the game the doctor has is a couple hours of deposition and a couple hours at trial. Otherwise, there's zero consequence. So when you take away consequence for choice, in a society, what do you think is going to happen? That's a biblical principle. God's way is choice and consequence. You can't take away consequences and expect people to behave morally. It just doesn't work that way. You can't operate in that methodology. And, they use the excuse that if we don't have the system set up like this, doctors won't practice in our state. Well, it's simply an excuse to put these statutes in that the plaintiff really cannot win these lawsuits. And, I'll be blunt, Butch, the cost of this lawsuit is over $1 million. Wow. And so this process, what's happening, who would ever spend $1 million to get $750,000? It makes no sense. But God called us into this. The lawsuit gives us a platform that we would have not had, and we are able to show what is going on behind the curtain. So this is a three-week jury trial. We believe it will be public. It's open to the public, but we are hoping that it's going to be live streamed so people can watch the trial and see what happens when these people get on the stand, because we want to expose well, we don't want, we want to actually shed light on the evil. We want to rebuke the evil and shed light on the evil. I was going to say expose evil, but God specifically told me, not audibly, but in July of 2022, don't use Grace's story to expose evil. And I don't know, didn't know what he meant at the time until I saw, I looked at Ephesians 5:11, which says, you know, have nothing to do with fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose right. them. But yeah. the word expose, if you go back to the Tyndale version or the Geneva Bible, you'll see that it's not expose, it's rebuke. And what I have found out is this whole idea of exposing evil, Satan has to have the evil exposed to resurrect himself as the angel of light. That's the second half of the second beast of Revelation 13, the false prophet system. It becomes Satan's deception through the less evil angel of light to deceive us. So if we only expose evil, it fits into Satan's playbook. Anyway, that's what God showed me. And so I'm, you know, the lawsuit platform gives us an opportunity to shed God's light on the evil and rebuke the evil publicly.
Okay, and we're running out of time so fast. Got another 6-7 minutes left here. What are you doing now? What's coming up next? Just fill us in what the next move is and how things are looking.
The attorneys are all flying. We have four attorneys. They're all flying into Appleton, Wisconsin on Friday. We will be planning over the weekend. We have a two-day hearing, May 19th and 20th, in front of the judge with the defense. So it's called a pretrial hearing. So at that hearing, the evidence that will be allowed, not allowed, the special verdicts, the jury instructions, all those things get hammered out. So then I'll be able to talk in very specific ways as to how the trial is going to lay out for the 3 weeks starting June 2nd. The only thing I know for certain relative to the trial right now is the first day, June 2nd, is jury selection. Other than that, the details of the trial will get hammered out on the 19th and 20th for that hearing. So that's a big hearing. You know, if people are inclined to pray, you know, the only thing that matters is God's will. God already knows if we're going to win or lose. And, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, our job is to be obedient. But if you were inclined to pray for those 2 days,
amen.
You know, we want the truth to be heard. And the judge has a lot of authority during those 2 days, and we'd like to have the judge have his heart be in pursuit of the truth so that the entire trial gets exposed to the public and all the claims in our lawsuit get heard by the public.
And folks, seriously, pray that God be glorified in this, that this young lady's life will not be in vain, that someone will see the corruption that's behind all this. And maybe we can't stop it, but as you said, we're to expose it and rebuke it. The scriptures and King James Bible says to rebuke it. Stand against it. Don't be ashamed to speak up the truth. And I really admire what you're doing. I mean, what you're going through now has to be hell. That's all I can say. Let's talk to Chris in Kentucky. Chris, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Butch, how you doing?
Good.
Good. This is really, I was listening to this. This is what they did since COVID.
Yes. Yes. Still there? Did we lose him, Todd? I don't know what happened, but I'm lost there. So, are you still there, Scott?
I'm still here, Butch.
I don't know what happened. We lost Chris. Okay, so go ahead and continue what you were saying. We know that you're doing this for the right cause, and we got to get this out in front of people. We got to get somebody's eyes open to the truth, because we've been so deceived for so long in this country, it's unbelievable. Go ahead.
If anybody listening is in Wisconsin and you can make the trial, we set up a separate website for the trial. It's graceschara.com, S-C-H-A-R-A.com. And in the upper left-hand corner, if you go to that website, there's a button called Fill the Courtroom. And because this is a national case, there's so many people interested, we did a sign-up platform, so you can sign up to be in the courtroom in half-day increments. So please do that. You know, we want to show the support for Grace. This is a 12-person jury. We have to convince 10 of 12. And so filling the courtroom is it's a big ask, but you know, I'd appreciate it very much because that's it's an important piece of the trial because in the end, we do have to convince 10 of 12 jurors that the doctor and nurse in this case did what they did, and it resulted in Grace's death. You know, we've done all the legal homework, the technical homework. The legal team has done an absolutely outstanding job. We've crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, and so we are ready to fight. It's just, you know, we've got to take a jury that hasn't spent thousands of hours in the medical records, and we've got to convince them in a fairly short period of time as to what happened with Grace. And of course, they're going to have a general bias in favor of the white coat because most people are still not awake.
Of course. I don't know what else we can even add to this. We're down the last couple minutes, Scott. And folks, please pray that God be glorified in this. I mean, above everything else, all these things can work to his glory. And I believe that one thing for sure, Scott and his family have gotten their eyes open to a lot of things happening in this country that before they didn't understand, or maybe they didn't want to believe. It's hard. No one wants to believe this, but it's all true. So please pray that the Lord will be done this and he be glorified and maybe some people actually have to pay a little bit of a penalty for their callousness and their carelessness and their I want word to use, satanic desires to harm people. Scott, we're down about the last minute and a half. What do you want to say?
Well, I want to say, first of all, our families was called under Genesis 50:20, which says what you meant for evil, God meant for good, the saving of many lives, which is happening today. And I praise God that he's given me this opportunity. I appreciate you having me, Butch. And then I would say, if you are on the fence yet, you're one of the people that bought into the propaganda, maybe you even took the jab, I know that God is waiting for you. Amen. Individually to repent, because repentance is the only cure for the jab.
It's the only key.
And it's the only cure to get out of this idea of relying on man to take care of us.
Let's give Gene in Ohio about 20 seconds. Gene, come on in. You got about 20 seconds. Come on in.
Yes, sir. This is kind of important. Most patients entering a hospital with a low oxygen saturation are supposed to be put on hyperbaric oxygen. I don't know if you know that, but it is a critical part of the procedure. I learned that in a hospital where I worked. That's all I had to say. I hope you
all right,
have
thank you. All right,
good
thanks
luck
for input.
With you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Gene. Thank you. All right, folks. And Scott, very quickly, how can people help you all? How can they keep in touch with you? What can they do to find out what's going on?
If you go to graceshare.com, that will link to our main website. There's a give, send, go if they want to support us financially. But the main thing is fill the courtroom. You can subscribe to graceshare.com. We send out a newsletter now regarding the case a couple times a week because there's so much happening. So please sign up at graceshare.com. You'll ultimately get introduced to the main website by doing that, which is ouramazinggrace.net.
All right. Scott, please keep in touch. I'll try to keep in touch with you if at all possible. And keep us informed, please. I'll talk to you, my friend, real, real soon.
Thank you, Butch. God
all
bless
right,
you.
Folks, thanks for joining us. We'll see you in the office tomorrow. Please do call and talk to us tomorrow. I'll be by myself probably most of the day, but I'll do what I can. We love you, and good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should. Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.